Good afternoon. How are you?
You made it once again, Mike. Good to see you. I'm fine, thanks.
I had my life jacket on, so that was good. That's always safety first. That is that's what we do here in the radio business. Good to hear your voice. How's everything going? Here we are, the second Tuesday of May. Well, that means we had a busy first Tuesday of May and Election Day. Weather was nice, not a lot of issues or anything else to deal with. Turnout was decent, and obviously your successor in everything except the official has been named. Just a thought on what you witnessed last week, and here we are on a Tuesday.
Yeah, I was talking to you last in the middle of Election Day or near the end of it, and we did see a couple thousand more than voted the last municipal election, and I think that reflected, you know, some pretty intense campaigning and a bunch of new candidates. And we knew we'd get a new mayor. We didn't know which one, and it looks like Carrie Thompson will. And we know she won the Democrat nomination, and that's a very strong likelihood that one will win in the fall, in November, and she will be joined by Nicole Bolden, who was reelected as clerk, nominated again, the Democrat nomination, and then probably the biggest change is we're going to have at least five new council members out of nine. So there were a lot of races, some quite close, and changes of the guard. So I can tell you what's going to happen in the city over the next 8 months, and then after that, it'll be a bunch of other people.
Well, and I think that's very interesting as well, because the mayor will be new. There will be, as you mentioned, a new, well, not majority, so to speak, but there's five new votes on the council. When we look at that from 30,000 feet, that suggests hyper change. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be the case. What is your feeling on that moving forward? Do you sense the election shows us that things will be different? What is your takeaway? Because obviously you're not going to have any, well, you're going to always have skin in the game to a degree, but not January 1st. It's someone else's show to run.
I won't be sitting at this desk, you know, on January 1st. So I think, I do think it's a change. It's going to be a younger and more diverse council, city council. And I think that's good, generally. I mean, not to make any comments about any individuals, but I think Bloomington having a more diverse and a younger council reflects our community, and I think there'll be a very forward-looking council. We had four new members, I think, last time, so we've got a fair amount of new turnover in the council, and I think that's healthy, you know. You're talking to a guy who felt like two terms in the mayor's office was a good run. I did much of what I wanted to do and got a lot in place and moving forward, and I felt it was a good time to hand the reins over to somebody else. This city has a lot of momentum and a lot of things that keep going, but they're also, you know, I think it's good to have some new people. We got some first woman of color ever on the Bloomington City Council, Shruti Rana. She was in an open seat. Redistricting maybe had a little of effect, you know, because these were new districts, which meant we had an open district and a couple people who were put in the same district, and so that prompts some change too.
Interesting. And as we obviously counted up all the votes, the turnout was pretty good, as you mentioned. And your thought was perhaps the campaigning. Was the vote demographics skewed younger? A lot more people in the younger groups voting, or do we not know those numbers just yet?
Yeah, you know, I haven't studied the precincts and all that, and we don't do exit polling, which is what you really need to get, you know, who showed up, and you can go through it when you get the full voter list of who did actually vote. You can look at that. I haven't done that, but you know, I think there were very competitive at large races. We have one brand new member at large, one returning who was gone for a while member at large, and then a continuation at large with Isak Kasari and Andy Ruff and Matt Flaherty, respectively. You had a really close race between two council members. up in District 2, current ones who got put in the same district. And so a mayor's race with, what, $300,000 spent, you know, which is a dramatic record of how much money spent. So that will drive some turnout, I think.
Mayor John Hamilton is our guest this afternoon. He joins us every Tuesday. It's just after 4:05. The 8 years, well, almost 8 years that you have had in the mayoral chair, you've put in some pretty extensive programs and visionary, futuristic things. Are any of those in jeopardy, do you feel, or does government not really work that way? Well, I don't know how to ask that.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm glad you can read my mind, because that's a dopey question. The new people, are they going to take away any of the old stuff because they don't like it? That's how I would have said it in my previous life.
Yeah, well, I don't doubt that the city will continue to evolve as it should and change. I think that I'm really proud when I look around and I look at some of the really basic things we did, which were getting our fiscal house really strong. I think we're in a very good fiscal position overall. Our balances are really good. Our bond rating is really good. Our infrastructure investments have been unprecedented to just kind of get the fire engines and the streets and the water infrastructure and all these basic things that people want to have happening are really good. And then we've talked about the string of pearls a bunch of times of the big new projects. Switchyard Park is open. The Trades District is moving. The Hopewell Old Hospital site is under development. We're still waiting on the convention center. But, Catalan has come to town and put thousands of new jobs in. And Cook is expanding. And the mill and the new – there's just a lot of really – great things going, but I 1,400 units of affordable housing and all that. But there'll always be a change. I think the new council, I would say, I'm pretty confident, is going to lean in pretty strong to sustainability and diversity and being a welcoming city and trying to make sure we let people live here and thrive here. Kind of younger, they may tilt a little more toward how do we look to the new populations and the people who want to be here, not just the people who are here? And I think that's healthy. I think a city always needs to be not just thinking about who's here, but who wants to be here and who's going to be here and how do we make sure they all can thrive.
It never ends, does it? There is no ending. It's organic.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's great. It's like it's a 200-year-old organism that keeps changing and evolving and getting better and greener and more equitable and more exciting and, art, new arts things going on all the time. And it's always changing.
And that's the fun part. And we saw the changing of the guard last weekend as a graduate ceremony at the Simon Scott Assembly Hall and another. Oh, geez, did you see the pictures from the football stadium? My goodness.
I didn't yet.
Well, oh, yeah. Fantastic. What a turnout. And
great to
see. Well, the pandemic's over and people probably aren't as edgy about doing things like that. But you had some folks leaving town, the underclassmen, and then you had the graduates and their parents coming to town. How did we do?
Well, it's fun, isn't it? I didn't have any family members graduating this year. Every family that did, it was a big day, and it was a moving day, and I mean literally and figuratively. And it's fun to think about the chapters, the pages being turned for thousands and thousands of people. It went really smoothly, I believe, in general. I haven't heard any reports of any dramatic issues. You know, there was always, I think there were a few fender benders. I did hear the traffic was a little bit frisky sometimes as people are trying to navigate in and out. But what a beautiful rhythm to life here and new chapters for 10,000 people just starting last weekend,
A little bit different than the little 500 weekend with who's in town. And our restaurants were busy. Mother Nature cooperated until late on. Well, I guess it would have been early Sunday morning, but late Saturday night. So hopefully everybody
that
was.
That just cleans everything up a little bit.
Well, Wason's on with me on Thursday. I'll get to him about some of the things that have stood out here today.
Yeah.
I'm not going to bother your office with such trivial matters, but yes, there is evidence there was a large gathering on the weekend.
We have to count the bricks on Kirkwood Avenue,
or the red cups on Kirkwood and all the surrounding streets. Well, that recycling program should help cover all of that. Interesting, you brought up some of our local employers. The news that Baxter is going to be sold hit the headlines. I think that was yesterday, maybe the day before.
Yeah,
I know the city's not involved in that per se, but you're always keeping an eye on it. There's nothing for us to worry about, is there, from an employer standpoint?
Well, you're right. We, you know, those are decisions made at a corporate level. That's a very large international company. You know, we watch that and we talk to them and we try to monitor and do what we can. Anytime there's a big change in ownership like that, we want to make sure we understand, is the city doing all that we can to help make sure you can grow and thrive? And the indications are good. You know, it's a private equity firm that's going to take it private, I think, instead of public. So some of the transparency may disappear from that. But, you know, it's a $4 billion purchase. It's a pretty significant vote of confidence, if you will, in that business. You don't typically put that money in to run it into the ground, but you think there's value there to move forward. But we care about it, you know. And Catalent, which, as you remember, when they came to town and paid $1 billion to buy a business that had about 750 employees, they're now up to 3,000 employees a few years, 4 or 5 years after they bought it. On the other hand, they've had a stock hit, and we watch all that. But again, that's part of the dynamic of a city, and our job is to make sure we help those kind of institutions have great quality of life. Their workers, the people who want to come here and be part of that they have a great city to live in. And I used to work for the lieutenant governor, who said if you want to have a company locate or grow, you got to be a company where the CEO wants to live. You got to be a great city to live in. If you're a great city to live in, things will flow. Things will be okay.
And I think that makes complete sense. And that's the good news is we're handling that end of it. The other part is I don't think you get worried. I don't even think you get concerned. You just have to pay attention. I know that sounds loose, but you don't have any different answers that we read in the press release, correct?
Well, no, I don't. But one other point that's kind of important is that it reminds us that, like your investment strategy, you should diversify,
right,
so that you're not all in one company or one class of investments, they all tell everybody. Similarly, a city is stronger when we have a range of types of businesses and firms. Obviously, IU is our biggest, and it's a very stable and awesome anchor to have. We've got a big hospital that's another very important and big anchor. And then you've got private sector employers with Cook and with Baxter and with Catalent and with Boston Scientific not far. And you've got Crane Base down the way with thousands of engineers. And you've got the continuing to build the diversity of our economy is really important. And so, those different institutions, Catalent arrival was really important for that regard. Getting the mill to help smaller companies grow and thrive and expand is really important. I remember talking to the mayor of Columbus who said, in the old days you chased one company to try to get 1,000 jobs. Now you try to help 100 companies add 10 jobs each, and it's all a both and, but diversity is really important.
Yeah, and Columbus would know that the auto industry takes a hit. You better have something else going on because, Cummins and everything else that goes on there. Mayor Hamilton is our guest. You've heard that voice every Tuesday, or most Tuesdays here, over the last few years. The legislative session ended in Indianapolis last week.
Last weekend.
They try to cram it all in before the firefighters' convention arrived and the legislators wouldn't get kicked out of their hotel rooms. I talked to Kevin Briniger yesterday from the Indiana Chamber of Commerce and got his thoughts on the business side of things. Now, you can tell me on how the legislative side of things will affect Monroe County and Bloomington.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. I didn't get to hear what Kevin Briniger said. I have real concerns about some of the social actions that were taken. You know, I just was reading an article about conventions that have LGBTQ people in their membership, and they're like, I don't think I want to go to Indianapolis, and how do we deal with that? And, you know, I think we've taken a bunch of wrong steps where we're not a welcoming state that we should be. And I know there may be people who have a different view of that, but I think overall history will reward those communities and those states and those organizations as they move toward more inclusion and more acceptance. That's been the story of our country for a long, long time, and we sometimes take two steps forward and one back, and I think we took some backward steps. I do think I just learned recently there was a very last-minute change that's going to affect our school district with the referendum we passed, which is a little frustrating. You know, I've had some experience up there with last-minute things in the legislature, and this one was, just to keep it short, you know, the state legislature has, there are many people who think they've underfunded public education, but one of the roots is, well, pass a referendum. You can finance your own education if you want to add budgets to that, which we've done three times in a row. Very end of the session, on no public input, they said, oh, by the way, if your assessed value went up a certain amount, you know that referendum you passed to raise your money, we're not going to let you keep it all. And it cost us $1 million or $2 million in revenue from our referendum, which is just ridiculous from my perspective.
Not going to let you keep it all. Where does it go instead?
It just, you don't get to collect it. You pass a referendum of a certain amount to collect, you know, 8 cents more on the dollar or whatever, of the $100, I mean, and a property tax. They just won't let us collect it all, even though we voted for it. So that's pretty frustrating. You know, I think we may have another one coming. We'll see. But I'm glad they're out. Let's just say that. Let's move on.
All right, and we will move on. That's what we do. And Mayor Hamilton joins us. So that's behind us. You've been busy. We see the videos online. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. The city is always busy. But when it's 75 degrees and perfect, well, there's 100 things going on, as there should be. We've got the farmers market happening on the weekend, as always. And tomorrow, well, there's that Switchyard Park again. Switchyard Park's always busy. The 50-plus Expo, the City of Bloomington's Parks and Rec Department, and your friends at IU Health. They're your big sponsors. That will be from 3 to 6 tomorrow. Again, there are very few days that you can go by the Pavilion or Switchyard Park and there's not something going on. And if that's not enough, we're getting close to diving in. Pool season is, well, if we're talking about races and everything.
We're checking for leaks.
Oh, are we? All right, good. Yeah, you don't want to fill it up and then wonder where the water went.
Yeah. I was going by the pool the other day in Bryant Park, and I saw they're filling it up with water to check for leaks. It'll open Memorial Day weekend as usual. That's a sign of spring. It'd be a day-to-day would be a good one. And I just saw a Parks staff member, and they're like, you know, we're busy as bees. They got everything cooking, and it's great to see so many people enjoy our 30-plus parks and playgrounds and courts and all that stuff these days.
Are you into the pickleball? Have you got that itch yet?
Oh, God, you had to raise that issue, didn't you?
No, I don't know anything about it.
No.
You got pickleball problems?
I'm a tennis player.
Oh,
okay. I'm a tennis player, and I have played pickleball a few times, and it's kind of fun. And it's a big sport. A lot of people like it.
Huge.
It's interesting how it will, you know, is this going to be a sport? What's a good example of a sport that popped up and then went away?
Disc golf. Somebody will get mad at me for that, but bring it on. I'm ready for it. I drive by all the empty baskets every day. Let's go. Bring it on.
But yeah, my son just played that the other day. But
well, there you go.
But right. So you just don't know. You know,
it's a
like
boutique sport.
Softball and softball used to be more people in the leagues than we had today. I don't know if pickleball is going to keep growing or evolve as we go. Bowling change. You know, everything kind of has ups and downs. Darts, I don't know. Are they as popular today as they were 100 years ago? I have
probably not.
Anyway, but we got pickleball courts indoors and out. So, you know, whatever floats your boat.
There you go. It's for the non-sprinting The
yes.
Don't, you know, drop shots. I don't have to go as far.
That's right.
Not so bad at all. What else was I going to get to? Let's see. We got this. We got the Parks and Recs. We're going to have fun with that. It's Food Truck Fridays every Friday down at Switchyard Park. That is great. We know all the water is turned on. Bathrooms are open. So if you're having any of those worries, please, please, please do not. You've got music downtown every Thursday starting at 4:30. Summertime in Bloomington feels awfully, awfully good, but we've got some business to handle as well. You, what is cooperative living? And you're shooting a video this week, and I haven't, or maybe that was last week. What is Bloomington Cooperative Living? I have not gotten there yet.
Thanks for asking. And, you know, we do those kind of videos. We're trying to make sure people can learn about stuff, and there's now quite a library of videos if you want to look it up. But so Bloomington Cooperative Living is a nonprofit, one of hundreds of nonprofits in the area, and this one does really cool work. They're basically a co-op for living. They have their first building that they owned was the old Middleway House at Kirkwood and Madison, I think. And they basically own a building and let people join the co-op and live there. Very affordable. We've now done three different projects with them from the city to support their development and ownership of these super affordable units right downtown. Most recent one on 9th Street right by Butler Park, beautiful location. It was a big house. I think it was 7,000 square feet or bigger than anything around them. They've turned it into about 19 apartments. They average $500 or $600 a month, including food and utilities. So super affordable to live in beautiful places. And they do a really good job of creating a new housing opportunity. So this video helps explain what they do, gets a little information about where they're located. And we, you know, they're a partner that we want to just see keep doing more of what they do because they're really creating a new niche for living in downtown Bloomington.
Well, that sounds that's.
Now you gotta like a co-op. You got shared meals and.
It's not for everyone, but it's
not for everybody.
It is possible. And I don't want to save this for last, but I have saved it for last because it's the most exciting thing we have. But you're launching new public records request management software, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh man, with a big finish.
Did you have I didn't get the parade permit for that. Can we look the other way on this one?
So it's funny. This is kind of some of the guts of government that, you know, maybe not very sexy. But when I came in, I wanted to be sure we were as transparent as possible. We've got Be Clear with hundreds of data sets you can look up and all of our contracts online and all that kind of stuff. And this is just another step, which is basically, you know, the Freedom of Information Act, FOIA, which is part of our national government and our local government, which says if you want to document public information, you can always ask for it, and we have to produce it for you. This is just trying to facilitate that whole process to make it easier to ask. You can find out who else asked for anything. It's trying to automate it a little more because, you know, government belongs to the people, and all the stuff we have belongs to the people. So information that we have, data and reports all are that way, but sometimes it's a little difficult to get them. So this is another step in trying to make it easy. Maybe not the most exciting thing, but it's important. And democracy and government and reminding it belongs to us. Maybe on the day the week they crowned a king back in England, just to remind us that we don't have kings and all this government belongs to the people.
And the bank holiday the day after that was that was nice, wasn't it?
Yeah.
For our folks across the pond there. Surveys, are we done with those? You still want people to turn them in? How are we doing that?
I think we're done with the surveys.
Okay.
We're analyzing them now, and I think by the end of the month, probably first in next June, we'll be releasing those surveys. I think get the results. I haven't seen anything yet, but I'll be interested, and we can share those. That'll be fun to talk about.
Put your sunscreen on. Go out and enjoy the rest of the day, my friend. Thank you so much for your time, and we'll do it again next week.
Always enjoy it, everybody. Have a good week. Take care, Mike.